John chapter number 11, we will look at verse number 27 through verse number 36, 27 to 36. And mainly we're going to focus on verse number 35. The shortest verse in the English text of our Bibles is Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And we're going to look at Jesus weeping this morning. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We are thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can have the scriptures in our language. We can read them. We can understand them. We can meditate upon them. We can memorize them, Father. And we will thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having the scriptures. There's so many people around the world that would just do anything for one copy of the scriptures. And there we are. We have many copies of the scriptures in our houses, Lord, and we have an overabundance of your word. We thank you, Father, for the rich blessings that you've given to us here in this country and this area in which we live. I pray that you'd help us this morning. Help me as I preach. Lord, we know that all is futile and all is worthless without your Holy Spirit accompanying that word. And so I pray that you'd help me this morning to preach and teach. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of the people this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do what is necessary in their hearts. I pray that everyone would put away any distractions that they have and that there would not be any hindrances to what is being communicated to us through your word this morning. And we'll thank you for it. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 11, verses 27 to 36. Jesus Christ has just had a conversation with Martha, and now he's going to have another conversation, a little short conversation with Mary, who is the sister of Martha. And as you know, that Lazarus has already passed away. They sent for Jesus Christ to go and heal Lazarus, and he waited for 2 days before he went. And he did that for a reason, and that was to show the glory of God, and he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so Jesus Christ has made his way almost to the place to where Lazarus has been buried, and Martha met him before he got there, and she had a conversation with Lazarus, and now Jesus Christ is going to call for her sister Mary, and he's going to have a conversation with her. It says in verse number 27, Jesus saith unto him, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. There's Jesus Christ, and he goes to where, or he calls Mary there. He just finished speaking with Martha, but he calls Mary there. And the mourners see that Mary has left the place where they were mourning together, and they surmise that Mary has gone to where the tomb is, where Lazarus is, and so they follow her out, and they all go to where Jesus Christ is, and there's a scene there. Jesus Christ is there with the mourners. And Mary goes, and she speaks to Jesus, and she says basically the same thing that Martha has said. Look, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. My brother, he would not have died. but you got here too late. And he's already passed away. And Jesus sees Mary weeping and the other people around them, and they all start to weep and they're crying because Lazarus has died, and it touches him deeply. It says that he groaned within his spirit, but then he begins to weep. He begins to cry. Why do humans cry? Well, I think that one of the things that separates us apart from the animal kingdom and from animals is that we weep and we cry. Now, I know that you're probably going to say, well, wait a second now. Animals can cry. You're wrong there. And maybe they can, but it's not because of their emotions. They don't cry because of emotions. We cry or we weep in response to our emotions. We weep because we're sad. We're angry, devastated. Something happens in our lives, and we cry and we weep. But can I tell you here this morning that God cares about our tears? God cares when we are devastated, or we have hardships, or we have pain, or we have trouble that comes into our lives, that God cares about those instances in our lives. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 56 and verse number 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings." That you count whenever I get off track and I wonder. You count those things. You know about those things. He says, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" The psalmist is saying, look, God takes meticulous notes. He records all of the hardships and all of the troubles and all of the tears that you and I shed. He knows all about those things, and he takes meticulous records of those things. He's not a God who is far off. He's not a God who's separated from his creation or sitting up on his throne, and he doesn't know. He's like the old senile grandpa, and he doesn't know what's going on down on earth. No, he knows exactly what's going on with his creation and with the people of this world. And God does not forget about our hardships. He knows exactly all about those things. He considers all of those things. He knows all of those things. And some of the things that you and I might think are insignificant and small, that God doesn't know anything about, or they're unimportant, God takes note of those things. God knows all about those things. And here's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And he has entered into the human realm, and he is now weeping with those who weep. He's crying and weeping with those who have lost something. What does that tell us about Jesus Christ? Well, it tells us that Jesus has a human nature. I mean, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, but he did not have a sin nature like a man. He was made in the likeness of men, but he wasn't sinful, but he did have a human nature. He wasn't a spirit. He wasn't an apparition. He wasn't a ghost. It wasn't something like that. No, he was a human being. He was a man, and he was both God and man simultaneously, and he could feel. He could feel spiritual pain in the human realm. So when we see God weeping, it tells us that he feels. And it tells us also that he is capable of human sympathy. When Jesus Christ goes and he's surrounded by all of those people, he has sympathy for those people. He feels with those people. He has entered into that, and he's capable of that. And it also tells us something about God, because Jesus Christ came to manifest the Father to people. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God. And it tells us that God cares about us. Divine care for us as human beings when we see Jesus Christ weeping and crying with those people. And so Jesus Christ knew that Lazarus was going to die, and he waited 2 days, but then he gets there, and he goes in the midst of these people, and yet he still weeps. He still cries, and it says that he groaned within his spirit, verse 33 and verse number 38. He groaned. That means that he was moved in his spirit. Something deeply moved him on the inside to weep for Lazarus as he sees other mourners and people weeping there. Can I tell you that in this life, there is going to be mourning. There is going to be weeping. There's going to be some hardships. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some hurts. Now, it may not happen to you today or me today, but it's coming. Those hardships are coming. And can I tell you, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to cry. I mean, here's Jesus Christ, and he's the man's man. He's the man of all men, but yet he is crying. Sometimes men think, well, we don't need to be crying because that's a sign of weakness, and we can't be weak, and so therefore we can't cry. But Jesus is crying, and it's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. What can we learn about the tears of Jesus Christ? What can we learn about the weeping of Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing that we learn is that we have a friend who weeps and who feels with us. That's the first thing that we learn. It says in verse number 35, Jesus wept. Jesus is going to take his place with the mourners. He comes to this place. And there's Mary, and he has called her, but then there's all these other people that are weeping around, and he doesn't get there and say, well, I better not get involved. You know, I'll just hang back here for a little while. I see all these people are weeping, and they're crying, and it's a little messy in there. A little messy, and I don't think that I want to get involved in all of this. I'm going to have to put in a little bit too much time. I'm going to have to exert a little bit of emotional energy, and I don't want to get involved with this. He doesn't do that. No, he gets right in there. He gets right in there with those people, and he feels what they feel. And he knows what they know, and he starts to weep with them. He's like a friend of those people, and he starts to weep. And he wept with them. And he weeps, and he cries, and he weeps because he loves Lazarus. That's why he started crying. Lazarus was his friend, and all the mourners are standing around Jesus Christ, and they notice this, and they say, behold how he loved him. Look at the measure of love that Jesus Christ had for Lazarus. We can see this by the way that Jesus Christ is weeping and crying, and Jesus Christ loved all of those people. All of those people that were connected with Lazarus, Mary, Martha, he loved all of them, and he said, man, these people are hurting. I hurt with them. I feel with them. And we see again the humanity of Jesus Christ. He wasn't a robot. He didn't just sit there with a stone face and say, well, tough luck for you guys. I'm God manifest in the flesh. I don't have to feel this kind of stuff. Whenever you're done crying, let me know, and I'll do the funeral service, but right now, you guys are on your own. He doesn't do that. He says, man, I feel you. I feel you. I loved him too. Man, he's a great guy. Spent a lot of time with him. No, he was both fully God and fully human at the same time. Jesus wept because he loved Lazarus. Jesus wept because he saw the raw effects of sin and death. He knew exactly why Lazarus died. And that's why we die. We die because of sin. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And he comes down and he experiences the raw effects of sin and death. And he says, man, this is terrible. Sin is devastating. It ruins lives. It takes lives. Man, I'm going to weep over this. Jesus knew the exact ultimate reason why Lazarus died, and Jesus is weeping because of sin, and Jesus is just simply weeping because other people are weeping. He gets there and he says, you guys are weeping, I'll mourn with you, I'll weep with you. Whenever tragedy strikes in our lives, when we get into trouble in our lives and the hurts are coming, heartaches are coming, the time for you to weep is going to be coming. I'd like you to know this morning that you are not alone in your circumstances. Right. Now you might feel that you are alone whenever that heartache comes, but look, Jesus Christ is there with you. You are not alone. Jesus feels with you. He knows all about it. We find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 that our high priest is not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows how you're feeling, and he knows how I am feeling. That's not the nature of our high priest is not to step back and say, wait a second. I'm not going to get involved with this. I know you're hurting right now, but let me know when you're done. And then I'll come and I'll help you. No, no, he's there. He knows all about what's going on in our lives. Our high priest knows the effects of sin. He knows our moral frailty. He knows all about our sicknesses and our weaknesses. He knows all about those things. Can I remind you that our high priest willingly limited himself and became a human being so he could experience exactly what we are going through in our humanness? He did. He did. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, boy, he was despised and rejected of men. Boy, you ever feel that way sometimes? Boy, I'm being rejected because I'm a Christian, or I'm despised because of what I believe. Can I remind you that our Savior knows all about that? He came here and everyone hated, or the majority of them hated him. They nailed him to a tree. They rejected him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew all about sorrow. He knew all about pain. He knew all about grief. He didn't come and just sit on his throne up in some palace somewhere and he was totally unaware of what was going on. You might find that in an American president or something like that, but not our Savior, not Jesus Christ. No, he knows all about it. He knows all about it. Jesus went through all of those temptations when he was confronted by the devil himself. And when you and I feel the weight of sin, our own sinfulness, our own depravity, our Savior knows all about that. And when you feel alone in your pain, in your moment of pain, in your moment of weakness, don't think that you're alone, because Jesus Christ is there with you and he knows all about your pain. And he can relate to us. He can relate to how we feel right there, then, and there. He knows all about it. Our Jesus Christ knew what it was like to be forsaken by his Father. There he is hanging on the cross, and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Boy, you want to talk about being forsaken and being alone. He knew about that, and he knows about that. We have a friend that enters into our suffering with us, our pain with us. Now, if we have a Savior who feels our pain and he knows our suffering and he's willing to weep with those who weep, and we find that in the text, that he's willing to do this, shouldn't you and I be willing to weep with those who weep? Shouldn't we be willing to give compassion to those who need it? How do you and I show compassion to others? How do we do it? Are we willing to weep with those who weep? Or do we stand afar off and say, well, I'm not going to get involved in that. It's going to take a little bit of my time. I'm going to have to give some emotional energy to that, and I just don't want to do it. Does the fact that Jesus Christ wept with those who wept impact you today in your Christianity in the year 2020? I mean, we are called to follow Jesus Christ and be followers of him. Do we follow Jesus Christ in this respect? Or do we stand afar off? Because Jesus Christ made it a point to be there for those who needed him. He was there, and to feel what they felt and weep with those who weep. Search your hearts this morning and ask yourself, do I have that same mentality? Am I willing to show compassion on others? Are you truly concerned for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you truly concerned for everyone that you come in contact with? Are you willing to weep with those who weep? Because I can tell you this morning that there are some reasons to cry and there's some reasons to weep this morning. There truly is. There's about three instances where Jesus Christ wept. One of those was over somebody else's sin. He goes in Matthew chapter number 23, Jesus Christ goes and he speaks to the Pharisees. He gives them a scathing rebuke of what they are doing in their false religion and how they are leading other people astray. He looked at the sin of those religious leaders and he wept. Those religious leaders, you know what they were doing? They were preventing the common people of Jerusalem from entering into the kingdom because of their false religion. They were spewing lies, keeping people from being saved. They were compassing land and sea to make one true church. And once they made that true church, they made them more the child of hell than themselves. Why? because of their lies, making false converts. Jesus Christ said, you guys are the children of the ones that killed the Old Testament prophets. I sent prophets in the Old Testament, and you crucify them or you killed them. He wouldn't allow them to get the truth out. And he said, some more prophets are coming your way. And you know what you're going to do to them? You're going to crucify them. You're going to kill them. And your children are not going to know the truth. And he weeps over this. He says in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 37, he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones them that were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a chicken gathereth her chickens under their wings. But you wouldn't. You prevented your children from hearing the truth. You wouldn't let them hear. And he says, judgment's coming to you. Read Matthew chapter 24. Jerusalem, Titus coming in, AD 70. Going to destroy the entire temple. Not one stone will be left upon another. Weeping is coming to you. Judgment is coming to you because of your lies. Judgment is coming, and Jesus wept over that. He wept because of the sin and destruction that was coming upon the people of Jerusalem because of their sin. We could say the same thing's happening today. We read the same thing over in Lamentations. The weeping prophet, Jeremiah, he says, go and weep for your children because the judgment of God is coming upon your land and upon your nation. You better weep. Weep because of sin. Same thing's happening in our country today. You know what's happening? Truth is being suppressed and stolen from the hearts and minds of our children. They're being fed lies today. Lies today. And the judgment of God is going to fall on America because of the lies. And the souls of our children are being stolen from us because of the lies that are being perpetrated. What are they being taught? They're being taught that the Bible is not true. That there is no real truth. That all truth is relative. That you came from monkeys. Telling you all of those things. They're telling you today that it's right to rob and steal and pillage the property of others in the name of justice. They're being taught today that it's all right to riot in the streets and do it in the name of justice. That's what they're being taught. It's not right. It's not right. They're being taught today that it's okay to kill a child in the womb of the mother because of inconvenience. I don't want that child anymore, so therefore it's okay to kill it. And mothers will make videos crying because they're afraid they're going to lose the right to kill a child in the womb. You talk about crazy. You talk about calling evil good and good evil. And the souls of our children are being stolen today because of lies. Because of lies. How often do we weep about something like that? I can tell you here this morning that I don't enough. I don't. But sin's worth weeping over. Sin is worth weeping over. Most of the time we don't weep in that way. Most of the time we have the mindset of, well, I'm going to condemn. I'm going to stand in judgment of this. And we ought to judge it. I'm not saying we shouldn't judge it, but do we weep over the sin of others? Because sin brings judgment. Sin brings judgment. We ought to weep over the heartaches and the pains of others. The troubles of others. You know, one of the best things that we can do for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ is just to be there. Just to be there for them in their time of trouble. You may not know what to say. You may not have the words to say to somebody in the time of trouble, but you can be there. Whenever they're going through something, you should be there. And you say, Brother Jeff, well, why should I do this? Why should I be there for somebody? Because it might be you tomorrow that's going to encounter the tragedy. It's going to be you tomorrow that needs somebody to be there for them. That's why. It might not be today. You might not have the pain today, but it's coming. May not be next week, but it might be next year, but it's coming. And if you spend your whole life selfishly shunning everybody and not being there for people, one of these days you're going to find yourself alone without anybody to be there. That's why we ought to be there. Weep with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. There is weeping today. There is pain today. But can I tell you, for a Christian, that the pain in this life that we are now experiencing reminds us that, man, one of these days there's a day coming where there's not going to be any more weeping.
Glory.
There's not going to be any more crying. One of these days that weeping is going to be over. That pain is going to be over. And there's Jesus Christ, and he's weeping with the family of Lazarus and with Mary and with Martha. Now was the time to weep, but I tell you, there's a better day coming. Jesus Christ is fixing to say, roll the stone away. And then their tears, their weeping for their loss of Lazarus is going to be turned into joy. It's going to be turned into laughter. It's going to be turned into tears of joy instead of tears of heartache and pain. They're fixing to see Lazarus raised from the dead. And Jesus told Martha, he says, man, I told you. He says, Martha, I told you, if you just believe, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the glory of God. Can I tell you this morning, boy, if you just believe, you're going to see the glory of God. One of these days, the glory of God is going to be manifest, and you're going to see it with your eyes. Just believe. That's all you have to do is believe. One of these days, the mourning and the weeping is going to be over. Jesus is the Lord of death, and death is going to be over one of these days, and it's going to be gone. There's Jesus Christ. He has the power to resurrect Lazarus, and he's fixing to show it. He's fixing to show that he can resurrect Lazarus. And we live today, we live in a world full of sorrow and pain and suffering. But as believers in the Almighty God, we know that there's something better coming. There's a better day coming after this today. There's not always going to be pain and sorrow. We're just in a temporary time right now. Something better's coming on the way. Life is coming. Glory is coming. And one of these days, there ain't going to be no more tears. There's not going to be any more sorrow. Why? Because of our great God. Because of our great God. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, he says there's a season for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, he says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to celebrate. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to dance. There's a time. There's also a time for mourning and weeping, and you're going to experience it here in this life. But one of these days, eternal bliss is coming. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back. God the Father, he does not promise his children there's not going to be any more suffering if you become a Christian. He doesn't promise you that. As a matter of fact, he says, if you get connected to my son, Jesus Christ, there's going to be some pain. There's going to be some suffering. And he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yeah, suffering right now, but man, there's glory coming. There's that glorified body coming. There's our Savior that we get to see. There's that city that we're going to see one of these days. There's heaven. There's perfection coming one of these days. Yeah, there's a broken system. Yeah, there's a broken world right now. Man, there's a better one coming. One of these days, those tears are going to be, they're going to be gone. Jesus Christ told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The context of that statement was mourning about your sin. You ever mourn over your sin? You hate it. You hate it. Wish I didn't do that. Wish I didn't do those things. I wish I didn't have that habit. Wish I didn't do that. He says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. We must hunger and thirst after righteousness and mourn and hate our sin. Hate those things. We mourn today, but one of these days, all of those tears will be wiped from our eyes. We're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Well, I'm looking forward to God recreating this whole mess, redoing the whole things. The Bible says in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, when God wipes away tears, do you know that's an eternal wiping away of tears? That means just never coming back again. Never. It's not a temporary thing. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to when there's no more tears. Eternal comfort. Right now we have to endure the pains of this life. Right now we have to endure the chastening of our Heavenly Father. He brings chastening into our lives. The psalmist again in Psalm 30 and verse number 5 says, His anger endureth only but for a moment. Only for a moment. But joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I can tell you that one of these days that sun's going to rise. One of these days Jesus Christ is going to come back and the sun's going to rise and joy is going to come. Eternal joy. Eternal joy. Well, we live in a sin-cursed world. It's full of death and destruction and despair. But hey, we got good news today, right now. We got good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ enters into our suffering with us. I mean, you are not alone in your circumstances, and I am not alone in my circumstances. And so therefore, you and I must weep with those who weep. And we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit in our lives for a reason. So we can go and we can comfort other people in their pain and their suffering. We can do these things. And that weeping is not going to last forever. It's only temporary. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. Do you realize there was no pain, no suffering, no crying, no tears up there where Jesus was? And then He came down here into the human experience and experienced pain and suffering. And they put Him on a cross, crucified Him, spit in His face, did all of these horrible, awful things to Him so that we could experience joy, so that He could wipe away the tears from our eyes, so that He could be our Savior. He went through all of this so that you and I could have hope in the midst of suffering, in the worst circumstances of life, even as in something as final as death. The Christian has a hope. They have a hope because Jesus Christ, because He came from heaven and He endured all of these things. So we can still have joy. What a blessing that our Savior has been to us. What a hope that we have in our Savior. But I encourage each and every one of you, weep with those who weep. It's only temporary. It's hard, yeah, I understand, it's hard. But weep with those who weep. And rejoice with those who rejoice. It tells us that as well. Are you saved here this morning? Don't let a day go by. Don't let a day go by. Without believing on Jesus Christ, you have another hope outside of that. No other hope. Let's pray.